In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so today, as I said earlier, we celebrate the last Sunday of the church year. As a liturgical church, our church year begins, and it'll begin for you all next Sunday, with the first Sunday of Advent. During that time, we spend time sort of contemplating our desire, our hope, our wishfulness that God would come to us. In a new way through the birth of his son Jesus, right? So Advent comes, and then Christmas, we celebrate that birth, and Epiphany, we celebrate the Epiphanein, the showing of that birth to the whole world. And then shortly thereafter, we have Lent, 6 weeks or so of sacrifice and preparing to and helping ourselves to understand what it means to be truly human and to integrate our own pain and struggle into the life of Jesus, and what it means to be part of that life of Jesus, to then be crucified and die and be raised from the dead by the power of God, and then in Pentecost, the giving of the Spirit and the learning how to essentially live in that experience of being one with the Father. So, we're at the end of that period, and the church chooses to celebrate the end of the church year with a sort of a triumphant experience in the feast of what we call the Feast of Christ the King. As I told Tom, it's never been one of my favorites because it's hard for me somehow to, in my prayer, I don't first go to the image of Jesus on a throne next to the Father. I typically go to the image of Jesus curing a leper or something like that. So I remember when I was a young priest, one of my first assignments was to have a group in Lexington, Kentucky, in a church that was named Christ the King. And it was the most obnoxious church you've ever seen. It had big old lights like these, only maybe 8 or 10, and they were all like big crowns, and it was all like gold and glitter all over the place, and it was just like, this is not my concept of what church means either, but I get over it, I get through those things. So today we celebrate that feast, and I must confess that over the week, in my prayer around these readings, I've never been faced with the experience of ending the church year, and also ending an experience on my journey with a group of people with whom I've grown great affection and care and love. And so that's been hard for me, but it's also been a chance to try to integrate what it means to end a church year and what it means to end sort of a slice of life of my ministry as a priest. That being said, you know, what came to me, it's not at all difficult to read the first and second readings, the first one from Daniel, the second one from Revelation, to read those readings and to get caught up in the wonderful poetry of the readings, to get caught up in the feeling, even if we don't understand logically what's being said because we haven't been there yet. We know that what's happening is what happens in poetry, that somehow it doesn't have to be all logical because it invites our whole being into an appreciation of the word. And I think that's what St. John in Revelation and Daniel in Daniel, if Daniel wrote Daniel, then what we're being invited into. That sense of a God who is so loving that God sends God's Son to be one with us, to live and die and be raised from the dead, and to return, but not alone. To return, having given each one of us the promise that we will join him there. We will join Jesus next to the throne of God. We will be one with Jesus through the power of the Spirit that was given to us, through the experience and relationship that the Spirit has given to us as sons and daughters of God Himself, as brothers and sisters to Jesus and to each other. And that's the promise that I think we are called to live in today. So when Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you a king?" Jesus doesn't come all out and say, "Oh yeah, just, you know, slap that crown of thorns on my head." He says, "Well, what do you think? What has been your experience?" And so that same question comes to us. What is it we think? What has been our experience? And I would venture to say that most of you I know now, and that your experience would be a profound yes to knowing Jesus in your heart. And because we all have tried and continue on our journey to say yes to Jesus, though imperfectly, we know that truth that Jesus talked about in the very, or that the gospel talked about in the very last sentence. That Jesus doesn't speak the truth, but that Jesus is the truth. That Jesus is life. That Jesus is the way. And we are in relationship with that Jesus who lived among us and struggled and suffered and knew pain. And we are invited always to know and to claim our humanity, our sinfulness, our brokenness. We are invited to claim our physical pain, our emotional and psychological pain. We are invited to claim our communal sin, the sin of our church, the sins of our church, the sins of our nation, the sins of our world, our communal history of doing it during many eras in ways that were profoundly wrong and evil, and the capacity to do those kinds of things. We are invited to claim all those things as reality. But more really, because of the action of the cross and that crown of thorns, which somehow represents all that stuff being pressed into Jesus' head, he is raised into new relationship with his Father and into a kingship that lasts forever and for all of us. And that ticket to being one with Jesus is our baptism. That's crass, but that's what it means. And we are invited during this feast to celebrate who we are. That we are, in fact, profoundly and relentlessly loved by the Father. No matter what our sin or the sins of those who have gone before us. And that we are redeemed by the love of the Father through Jesus and the giving of the Spirit. No matter what. No matter what the sin and pain. No matter what. And that we are able to join in that eschatological mystery that Daniel and John tell us about in our readings today. Trusting that one day we will be with all who have gone before us. Some of whom I've buried from this church. That we will be with them. And that all of us will be one. No matter how we diverge on our earthly paths. Together around that throne of the Father. As one family. Who call themselves Christian, believers in Jesus. That is the hope that is given to us at the end of this church year. And that is the hope that I am so excited to be able to share with you today. because it also speaks to me very personally. That is what I feel today on my last Sunday with you all as your interim. That we are one, and that our paths have somehow diverged, or they will soon. But that time that we are together, and for the many years that many of you have been together as brothers and sisters in faith, we are able to come together around this one table and this one bread and this one cup. And even when the times are rough, even when the times are riddled with evil and sin, even when the times are painful at the loss of loved ones and at death, even during the most difficult periods of time, we can come together in our faith, that faith that we'll articulate in just a minute in the Creed. We can come together and know that being here makes a difference. And my being here during this year and a half, I don't know what it is for you all, but has made a difference for me. And my coming to know many of you, and many of you relatively intimately, and hearing your journeys, and being with you in tough times, has given me a new sense of what it means to follow Jesus. And that's our job, each and every one of us, to be able to somehow share with each other our stories about how it is that we are called to follow Jesus. Our symbolic giving back of, you know, of blankets and sweaters and slippers and Bibles and whatever else was on the list, our symbolic giving back is a symbol. It symbolizes something that's much more profound and much more deeply embedded in each of us. That symbol of our desire to be one with each other here and with all those people out there who struggle just as we do as human beings. And I want to thank you for being part of my journey in the last year and a half, and for the many ways that many of you have helped me to grow and challenged me and asked questions and shared your struggles and shared your joys and shared your perplexities. It's been a blessing for me. And I just want to thank you all for that time that we share. But not so much thank you all because I feel elated because of it, but thank you all because in this year and a half, our time together in this place, in this church, around this table, celebrating together the many services that we've shared, the friendship around the tables over there, has made a difference to me. I pray blessing on each one of you. That difference that it's made to me has much to do with my life of faith. And I pray blessings on each one of you as you continue on your journey. Know that my prayers are with you, and I'd rather not say goodbye, but thank you all for sharing your lives with me over this year and a half. And know that I will continue to have destroyed these readings. I must be nervous. But I will continue to keep you all in prayer. Amen.